I am the rock, and on this rock, Jesus Christ, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus revealed to his followers in that moment who he really was and what his mission was. He was the Son of the living God, and there's a lot of things he could have said, as I said on Sunday morning at this point. He came to do a lot of things on this earth, and he was going to do a lot of things on this earth. And when he said, I am Jesus, I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God, he could have said a lot of things here. But what he chose to reveal in that moment was, I'm the Christ and I'm here to do something. And what I'm here to do is I'm here to build my church upon the revelation that I am the Christ. The word church, this is the first time the word church is actually used in the New Testament. It's used approximately 100 times in the New Testament. But the word church here, if you're taking notes, is the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia. And that word means a gathering of citizens in the Greek culture there, a gathering of citizens who have been called out from their homes. It's a group of people that belong to a country. Citizens called out of their homes into some public place or an assembly. They've been called out and they've been called into a place and they've been called together for a purpose. Can you say purpose? So Jesus, in the context of telling us what it was he was here to build, was he said, look, I'm here not to build a denomination. I'm not here to build an empire that you can see. I'm not here to build buildings, but I'm here to build a people. A people that I am calling out of something, and I'm calling them into something else, and I'm calling them together to get it done. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And in 1 Peter 2:9, it gives us really the definition of what he's saying here. And this is what the scripture tells us in Peter. Peter had a revelation and he wrote this. He said, but we, or you, are a chosen generation. Isn't it good to know that we're chosen? A royal priesthood, which there's so much more there than what we just read over that many times. But how many of you know that God has now made us, once we come into his church, into his family, he's made us kings and priests. His own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and he has called us into his marvelous light. The church of Jesus Christ is a group of people that Jesus himself has chosen and called us to come out of where we were, out of sin, out of bondage, out of the kingdom of darkness. If we're talking about the church here, people who are truly a part of the church of Jesus Christ are not people that necessarily have the best attendance award in attending a building. Do you know what I'm saying? They're not necessarily people who could quote all the bylaws of a particular denomination. They're not the people who work the most in all of the ministries of the church. Didn't the scriptures tell us that there are going to be those who stand before the throne one day when we give account and they say, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not heal the sick in your name? And he's going to say this. He's going to say, depart from me because you're not a part of my church. What does he mean? It says, depart from me. I never knew you. To be a part of the ecclesia, or the church that Jesus is building, is predicated on the fact that we come out of darkness and we come into light. That means we come out of the kingdom of darkness and sin, and we experience the new birth. And as Brett was saying earlier, we have God's now divine DNA in us. And so when he looks at us, he sees us as the church. The church is the people of God. It says we've been called out of darkness and we've been called into his marvelous light, and we have been called together to do what? This kind of goes back to what Brett was saying earlier too. What? To proclaim his praises. To proclaim the praises of Jesus, to lift up the name of Jesus, to be the image bearers of God in the earth, to be the hands and feet. He is the head and we are the what? The body of Christ. From the very beginning of time, God wanted a people who would multiply and carry his name into all the earth. He told Adam and Eve they were going to be his image bearers. But that mission and that purpose that God had for his people has never changed. And the church is to proclaim his name, to lift up his name, to share his name with a lost and a dying world. The amazing thing about this is that he says, my church, I'm come to build my church, and my church is going to be my people that I have called out. And I have called them into, and I've called them together to do what? To be containers of my spirit and my presence and my power in the earth. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? We talked about that a little bit Sunday morning, how that we look all the way back in the Old Testament. And we see that God instructed Moses and the children of Israel to establish a tabernacle. And it was in that tabernacle that God chose to make his dwelling place among his people. The people were camped out, and God told Moses to put the tabernacle in the middle of the people, and that was the place where his presence and his spirit dwelt. Later on in history, it became a more permanent structure as God instructed David and his son Solomon to build a temple for him. And it was in that temple that the presence of God dwelt. And the only people that could approach or go into the Holy of Holies was who? It was the high priest to approach his presence. Later on, when Jesus showed up on the scene, he was the embodiment of God. He carried the Spirit of God and the fullness of God in his body wherever he went. He was the manifest glory of God. The Bible says, whoever has seen me, Jesus said this, he said, whoever's seen me has seen the Father. But then Jesus began to teach those that were following him that things were about to change. And the change was going to be that you weren't going to have to go to a building to meet with the presence of God. Because what God was going to do was God was going to fill his church, his called out people, with the Spirit and the presence of the Almighty God so that it could be displayed and poured out across this globe. The Bible tells us that the desire of God and the plan of God is that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And as Jesus told his disciples, he said this. He said, it's good for you that I go away. He said, because you're going to do greater works. And the way that greater works than what Jesus did are being done today is because there's not just one body containing the power and the presence of God. Everyone that belongs to the true church of God, the true people of God, we carry the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And everywhere we go, we are the temple of the living God. We're the house and the container of the presence of God. You say amen? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? All of us together are the temple of God. Do you want to be a part of the true church? Do you want to be part of the true church? Do you want to be God's called out people? I do. I want to be God's called out people. But I want to go to another usage of that word, ekklesia, as it was written in that day. The second kind of definition of that word is an assembly or a called together group of people that convened at a public place for the purpose of deliberating. This was a group of people that was called out from the general population to serve. Everybody say serve. How many know the church is called to serve? They were called out, a specific group of people that were called out and called together to serve in the parliament, Congress, or council of the community. And their role and their job was to establish the governance, the guidelines, the rules, and the regulations for the rest of the citizenry. So in other words, if you were a part of the ekklesia in Greek society, you were a part of the government which legislated on behalf of the people. And you were granted authority, rule, dominion, and enforcement power. How many of you know that's what Jesus said he came to establish? A group of people that were called out from everybody else. They no longer were in the same place. They no longer were of the same family, but a group of people that were called out. And he was going to deposit in them the authority, the rule, the dominion, and the enforcement power of the kingdom of God. That we were going to be a spiritual body, and our job was to enact heaven's rule, authority, and dominion in a fallen world. Can you say amen to that? Do you know that's our job? Jesus came to build a church. He came to build a church, to establish a people who were not beat down in bondage, but a group of people who had governing ability. That we had the authority and the rule and the power of the Almighty God on the inside of us. And we're going to enforce that against an enemy. How many of you know people are not our enemy? People are not our enemy. Who is our enemy? Jesus said, I have come to establish my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In Ephesians 2:2, it says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince or the ruler or the commander of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. The scripture tells us that we have a common enemy. And the church is built to overtake this enemy. The church is built to enforce and expand the kingdom of God in enemy territory. And that enemy is told us in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he has come to do some really bad things. How many of you know we have a vicious enemy? We have a hateful enemy. Do you know that the enemy hates you, that the devil hates you? He's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And God did not come to build a church that was weak and was inept and not able to rise above this enemy. See, Jesus came and he revealed who he was as Christ, the Son of the living God. And he revealed what he was going to do, which was build his church. And then he identified who the opposition was going to be. And he said, your opposition is going to be Satan. Your opposition is going to be the kingdom of darkness. And what I want you to know, that if you're a part of my true church, and this is good news tonight, if you're a part of the church is made up of us as individuals, as the whole, that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail, to overcome the church in Jesus' name. See, Jesus was building his church because the church would partner with him in carrying out his purpose. Do you know that that's one of the primary purposes of the church? Is that we would partner with Jesus to carry out his purposes upon the earth. And what was Jesus' purpose? In 1 John 3:8, the scripture tells us, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest. To do what? To destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And if we're a part of that people, that church, then we're to be joined with him in his purpose. And his purpose is to destroy the works of the devil. His purpose is to destroy the works of the enemy. And that word destroy there, I'm not going to try to pronounce it in the Greek, but this is what its meaning is. It means to annul. It means to do away with. We're talking about annulling the works of the enemy. We're talking about doing away with the works of the enemy. It means to deprive of its authority. How many of you know we've been deputized and authorized as people of God with the Spirit of God on the inside of us in the name of Jesus to walk in the authority and the kingdom of heaven in this earth? To destroy means to declare unlawful, to break up, to demolish, or to destroy, or to do away with. This is what Jesus came to do for the kingdom of darkness. Everywhere the kingdom of darkness was inhabiting, when Jesus showed up, how many of you know that he overcame it? How many of you know that he annulled it? How many of you know he deprived it of its authority in people's lives, in communities? And that's what he's called us as a church to do. See, we've been called out and we've been called together to be an army. Everybody say, an army. Did you know we're part of an army? We're part of an army. Do y'all remember that song? We learned it in the Baptist church when we were little. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. I may never. Y'all know that song? James, can you sing it? March in the infantry. Ride in the cavalry. Shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. How many know there's revelation in that? We have to recognize that we are in an army because there is an opposition. There is an opposition to the church of God. And God has called us to be a part of his army to enforce the work on earth that he has accomplished when he went and took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And let's go ahead and read verse 19 in Matthew chapter 16. It says this. Jesus said, he said this, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Everybody say keys. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So not only was the church going to carry God's presence, but the church was going to carry God's authority. See, the word keys here carries two distinct meanings to the church. The first one is that the keeper of the keys has the power to open and shut. The keeper of the keys has the power to open and shut, which denotes what? It denotes power and it denotes authority. It is an opening entrance. I mean, an opening instrument. So keys signify power, authority, and access. And so what Jesus was telling Peter and his disciples and to us who would be a part of his church was this. To my church, I'm giving the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Keys to access the authority and the power and the inheritance of heaven and bring it down to earth. You know what? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus said that he was giving us the keys. He didn't say he was keeping the keys. He said he was going to go away. And when he went away, he was going to send his Spirit. And his church would be inhabited with the Spirit of God. And we would be given not only his presence, we would be given his authority. And we would have his authority to enact the power and the governance of heaven upon this earth. In Isaiah 22:22, it says this, I will give him the key to the house, the highest position in the royal court, and he will open doors and no one will be able to shut them, and he will close doors and no one will be able to open them. Keys denote authority. Do you know we have keys? If you're a part of the church of the living God, we have the keys of the kingdom of heaven at our disposal. Now, here's some real revelatory facts about keys, in case you didn't know this. First, keys only work if you use them. Do you know that? You ever walked up to a door that was locked, and you said, I sure wished I could get in that door. The only way you're going to get in that door is if you have a key to open that door. And if you have the key, you have to use them. But how many of us in the church, for one, we don't recognize and know who we are in Christ. And we don't know what it is that God has given us. And we don't recognize that he has put within our hand keys of authority and power and enforcement and inheritance in this earth. And so we don't use the keys. So if we don't use the keys, we don't open the door. If we don't use the keys, we don't lock the door. How many of you know there's some things that we need to keep out of our lives, and there's some things that we need to walk into, but they're only going to happen if we use the keys that God has given us. Another thing is this, and I know nobody's ever done this, but if you lose keys, how many of you know you can't use them? The church many times has lost the keys that Jesus entrusted to it. And we've got to find the keys so that we can operate again with the anointing and the power and the heart and the presence of God. And then I have to know my keys. Does anybody have a big old wad of keys? You ever done this? You ever have a big old wad of keys and you can't remember for sure which key it is, you know, to get in? And you're in a hurry for some reason, and I'll just kind of leave that up to you. Whatever the reason may be, you're in a hurry and you're trying to get in a door, but you can't get in the door because you can't remember which key it is, and keep using this key and you keep using this key, and no key gets you in. How many of you know we got to know what the keys are? We got to know what the keys are if they're going to be operational in our lives. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth. Can you hear the power and the authority there that's being given to the church? That's us. The power and authority that God is giving us as the church. He was talking about the church being at war with hell and the forces of darkness. How many of you know that the church is a military outpost in the midst of enemy territory? And God has called us as his people to go out and to take back what it is that the enemy has taken that didn't belong to him, in Jesus' name. Hey, does anybody got the time? This clock up here says it's... Is it really? Okay. Who said that? You just want to get out of church. That's Miss B. Where's my phone, Miss B? Okay. Yeah, all right. You're almost right, Miss B. All right. How many of you know that the church exists to advance the kingdom of God, not simply to defend it? See, when Jesus spoke about the church and he said, I'm going to build it, he was speaking in progressive terms. He said, I'm going to build my church, which is progressive, which is expansive. He didn't say, I'm just going to stop hell. He said, I'm going to build my church. I'm not going to try to stop hell. Rather, hell is trying to stop what it is that God is building. God's kingdom is going to expand. God's kingdom is going to explode. God's kingdom is going to be victorious. The gates of hell is not going to prevail against the church. So what is the purpose of gates? This word here, gates, means the gates of hell are likened to a vast prison. They're a metaphor for the access or the entrance into any place, particularly a stronghold. See, the purpose of gates is to keep some things out while it keeps some things in. They're part of maintaining a stronghold. The gates of hell were designed, get this, to keep the prisoners of darkness in the stronghold and to keep the liberators of those prisoners out. But Jesus was saying this, the church that I'm building is going to be an offensive church. It's going to put hell on the defensive. How many of you know we're not supposed to be living defensive all the time? Always trying to fend off what it is that the devil is trying to do. Always trying to keep up with where he's going and what he's doing in our life. Always trying to fend the devil off like a fly swatter, trying to keep the devil off. How many of you know that's not the life that God's called us to live? He's called us to be an offensive-minded people who are a part of the church that he is building, expanding in our marriages, expanding in our families, expanding in our churches and our communities, the kingdom of God. The enemy would like to use the gates of hell to keep those that are behind it in strongholds. How many of you know there are people that are behind the gates of hell? They're in strongholds of addiction, strongholds of poverty, strongholds of anxiety and oppression and depression. Strongholds of brokenness. But how many of you know Jesus said those gates cannot stop the church of the living God? We're supposed to be an offensive-minded group of people who are going over the gates of hell to liberate those who are in darkness. God's given us the keys. I'd say this, that the church is supposed to be a gate-taking, invasive force. Hey, Jeremy. How you doing up there? You have that thumb drive? If you could look on there, there's a song on there that I wanted to close with. Jeremy and I didn't connect before service. If you could pull that up and you have that available, I just wanted us to close with that song just for a second. How many of you know God's calling us to be a people that don't react to hell, but we respond to the leading of God? We're a called out people. We're a called together people, and God has a purpose for us. And what God wants his church to be is a group of people that know who they are in Christ, who take the keys of the kingdom of heaven that he's put into our hands, and we go about accomplishing the mission that has been defined for us by Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28:18, it says this. It says, Jesus came and he spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. How much authority has been given to Jesus? All authority. And then he told us, he turned around and said, I'm going to take this authority that I have, all authority. All authority. You get the picture of this? The church of Jesus Christ, us, those who are born into the family of God. He said, I'm going to entrust you with two things. I'm going to entrust you with my spirit. You're going to house my spirit. The very presence of God is going to dwell in you. And then I'm going to give you authority over all the powers of the enemy. And I want you to take my presence, and I want you to take my authority, and I want you to see to it that the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the water covers the sea. That's what God wants to do, and that's what Jesus said he would do through the building of his church. And we didn't even get there tonight. But the church sees a great enemy, and there's great opposition to that happening. Over the next couple Wednesday nights, I want to talk about some of the strategies and some of the schemes and some of the tactics that our enemy uses to try to keep the church from advancing and the church from building. But how many of you know that the gates of hell will not prevail against the true church of God? Are you part of the church? Are you called out of somewhere, out of darkness, out of bondage, and into light, and we're called together to lift up the name of Jesus? Do you have that, Jeremy? It's good. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand to our feet, if that's okay with you guys. And what we're going to do is take the last, Miss B, how long do I have? We're going to take the last 3 or 4 minutes right here. And we're just going to, it's okay, let's just lift our hands as he starts this music right here. You can go ahead and start it. What we want to do is we want to tell God that we want to be who he's called us to be. We want to be everything that he has purposed for us to be. We want to be, as Jesus said, about the Father's business. God, we want to be all that you have called us to be. God, we want to come out of everything that you're calling us out of, and we want to come into and become everything that you've called us to be. And God, we open our hearts and we cry out, God, that you would make us individually, God, the church you've called us to be, and corporately, God, that this place would become, God, what you have called it to be. God, we want to be your church, God. God, carrying your presence and your authority, God, and your love, God, to this world to accomplish your purposes in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, here we go. We've got about 2 or 3 minutes. You can worship as long as you want to, and then you can be dismissed as we invite the presence of God to fill our lives in this church in Jesus' name.